Good morning. What a way to start the week off with worshiping with your family. Been walking through the book of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 2, so if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. If you didn't bring your Bibles, they'll be on the screens. I want to see by a show of hands, this is not a rhetorical question. How many have heard a sermon on prayer before? How many have heard a sermon on giving before? How about a sermon on worshiping God through song? How about a sermon on fasting? Oh, more than I imagined. Some of you might be thinking, uh-oh, we're talking about fasting this morning. So to start, what is fasting? Fasting is the absence, the intentional absence from meeting a physical need to recognize a greater spiritual need in your life. You and I both know, in the average North American church, it is not a regular practice for Christians to fast. So the focus on Jesus' teaching this morning, and the text that we're going to be covering this morning is over fasting. That's his primary teaching, and so that's what the application is going to be. And this is one of those sections that I wish I would have had Boone preach, because if I preach it, I have to be doing my best to be living it. I don't know about you, but I love food. There are those that eat to survive, and there are those that really enjoy eating, and I'm the latter. I enjoy everything about food. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy learning how to make things taste good. My wife and I, we have 3 kids under the age of 6, and we have learned the tough lesson many times that restaurants are not for us. I don't embarrass easily, but I have not been to a restaurant with my 3 kids yet and not been embarrassed. So we don't go out too often. We cook at the house. And when I am hungry and my stomach says, feed me, I say, I am your obedient servant. I will do what you ask of me. In fact, I will go above and beyond till your cupeth overfloweth. I've been in the church most of my life, and fasting seems to be a bit of a one-off. I have fasted, and I have fasted for a few reasons in my life. Honestly, the first time I fasted, I was with a group of believing high schoolers. I was in high school, and we just thought it'd be cool to do it. Had no idea really what it was about, except we didn't eat. I've also done it as a form of worship, to deprive myself of something to remind me who's in charge. Probably the main reason and the most often reason I have fasted is when I was in need of wisdom. A major life decision and trying to seek God's wisdom through fasting. And when you get hungry, you are reminded to be praying to God for that wisdom. Some examples for that for me and for most people are job changes. You don't know whether you need to move or change locations or what direction does God want me to take me and my family. Before I proposed to my wife, she doesn't know that I fasted, but I fasted because I knew it was such a major decision in my life. When you're hungry, you're reminded to seek His wisdom. And many times, especially in the Old Testament, God's people fasted, especially when it had to come with major things like war or major life decisions. I have fasted for direction of the church. When I feel like we're at a crossroads or need to be led in a different way, I try to fast before I make decisions. Lastly, I have fasted when I find myself having a spiritual issue. Normally for me, it's that my faith is stagnant. I find a time in my life where there seems to be less passion, that digging into God's Word seems to just kind of be routine. And so sometimes I will fast and it'll help me get back on track. But to be open and honest and transparent with you, I would not say that I am a faster. I don't regularly do it. And I meet with Christians all the time. I meet with pastors all the time. And I have seen the same thing that is very common. Most people do not fast, or they're hiding it really well. As I was going through this lesson, I asked myself, when was the last time I fasted? It's been a while. I was going through the study and I had to ask myself the difficult question, why? And that's what we're going to go over today. Because fasting is tough. But the more you read the Old Testament, the more you read the New Testament, you see that fasting is a distinguishing mark of a mature Christian who loves Jesus. And if you think I'm overstating that, we're going to look at the Scripture and see what it says. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. Mark chapter 2, 18 through 22. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered them. He says, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear even worse. And no one pours new wine into old white wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour the new wine into the new wineskins." Before we dig into this, let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we get to come in here. And Lord, that you're a God that cares about what's going on in our life. And we can come here with the problems of the challenges that we had this week, Lord, and give them to you and know that you care about them. Lord, we can come here with the blessings that you gave us and are continue to give us, and thank you for those, God. And Lord, we can come here and know that you are coming back. God, we get to live our lives with knowing that you have come and that you will come back. And for that, we are so thankful and hopeful. It's your name we pray. Amen. So people had a question for Jesus, which is par for the course. As you read through the New Testament, many times Jesus gets asked questions. Sometimes it's an honest question. Sometimes it's trying to trap Jesus, but he's asked a question. Why do the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, why do they fast? And your disciples, why do they not fast? It's a good question. So first, why were the disciples of John the Baptist and the disciples of the Pharisees fasting? You see, God commanded his people to fast on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement happened once a year, where God's people made a sacrifice for the sins of that year. God commanded his people to fast in order to express the mourning of the sins in their life. And not only that, they fasted for the longing of when God would provide the perfect lamb that one day would ultimately remove their sins once and for all. So in a real way, God commanded his people to fast for the longing of the coming of the Messiah. And throughout the Old Testament, God's people fasted waiting for God to come through in a major way. Fasting from the Old Testament to the time of Jesus had become very customary. In fact, a lot of believers, a lot of God's family fasted on Mondays and Thursdays of every week. And many people believe here in Mark chapter 2, this had to happen either on a Monday or a Thursday, and they noticed that Jesus' disciples weren't fasting. Verse 19, Jesus answers why they weren't fasting with the story. Verse 19, Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot. So as long as they have him with them." Jesus is saying, he has this story that he is the long-awaited bridegroom. He is the long-awaited sacrificial lamb, saying, I am the one that you have been longing for. I am the one that you have been fasting for all throughout the Old Testament. So why did they fast in the Old Testament? A few reasons. One, we've talked about, there's a major decision to be made. But two, to express their desperation for a Messiah that has not yet come. Jesus is saying, I am the bridegroom. The bridegroom has come. It's not time to be fasting. It's too magnificent to be mixing with fasting and with mourning. The bridegroom is here. So here's how fasting is supposed to work. Most of the time in Scripture, it was giving up of either food and or water. A lot of times it was just food. And you spend the time that you would normally be eating with God, whether that's praying or meditating or through God's Word. And when hunger comes, you're reminded that He's the one that provides. When hunger pains come, you're reminded who your true provider is in everything, who your true provider is in wisdom. Fasting brings about aches and pains to point us to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, hello, I'm here. It's not the time to fast. I'm right here. You're in my presence. Thousands of years, God's people have been dreaming, have been waiting and longing for the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, I am here. And so Jesus' disciples, by not fasting, is actually testifying that the long-awaited Savior is here, whether or not they understood that. And then Jesus says something that would have absolutely devastated the disciples if they truly understood what he was saying. Verse 20. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast. Jesus is saying, I am with you now. There's no need to mourn, no need to fast, but there will be a day where the bridegroom will, Jesus, will be taken away, will be crucified, will be resurrected. Jesus is predicting that day. And then they will fast. Jesus connects our fasting with our longing of the bridegroom to come back. You see that in the story? He's connecting fasting with the return of the bridegroom, of Jesus. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. The NIV, I don't think, is the best translation here. I don't think it's what the Greek intended, that on that day when Jesus comes back that they'll be fasting. But it's a continuous. The English Standard Version says, and they will fast. But when you fast, fast in this way is what the Scripture constantly says. All throughout the New Testament, and Acts included, when it's talking about the church, the church is assumed to be fasting. When Jesus is taken, we will fast. That's what Jesus said, and he was right. The cry of the early church is, thy kingdom come, Lord, come back. That is what their worship revolved around. God, come back. That's what their music, that's what their prayers, that's what the Lord's Supper was about. Lord, come back. That was the focus of the early church. And that's how the Bible ends. You read through the book of Revelation, the last couple of verses in the last chapter read like this. He who testifies to these things, say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That is how the early church would end their prayers. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. That was the cry of the New Testament church when they worshiped. In everything that they did, come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, I'm coming soon. The bridegroom will come back. And today I believe that has to be our cry. When we look around at the mess that this place is in, as we look at the news, as we see people hurting each other constantly, say, Lord Jesus, come back. Look at the mess we find ourselves in. Come back, Lord Jesus. In verse 20, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. We're in that time. a time of pain and anticipation of his return. See, Jesus absolutely connects fasting to the longing of the second coming. And that's why it's important to fast. Verse 21. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old garment, making the tear worse. Verse 22. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Come again? What in the world is Jesus talking about? We're in the middle about talking about fasting, and all of a sudden he's talking about unshrunk clothing and new wineskins and old wineskins. How did we get to this? See, the old wineskins was the old way of fasting. And the new wineskins is this new reality that the bridegroom, that the Messiah is here. And that changes everything. The Messiah, God coming to us, changes everything, including the way we fast. And it's the reason why Jesus' disciples did not fast. The old wineskins, the old way of fasting can't contain the reality that Jesus is now with them. So there's a new way of fasting. There's a new way for us to fast. Messiah, come back. Jesus, come back. At this point, Jesus is saying, I'm here. You know me. You've seen me do miracles. And now that you know me, and now that you know that I am here for you, not against you, you can't fast in the same way. You can't fast in the same way after you have experienced the love that I have for you. So I have my own way of illustrating this without talking about wineskins and without talking about unshrunk clothing. When I was single, I had a desire to have a wife. I acted like I was too cool to need that, but I really did. Had a desire to have a wife and to not be alone. When God saw Adam and said, it is not good for him to be alone, he saw the same thing in me. I wanted somehow to share my life with somebody. And there was that longing of wanting to be married, right? But it was limited because the longing that I had was for somebody that I had not yet met. Not all of us have the Rex and Penny story. Or Penny, who did you tell when you were in kindergarten that you were going to marry Rex?
Grandma.
Your grandma. Not all of us have that story. My story is I met Dawn in a Bible study. And then I saw her again the next week. And then I saw her again the next week. And then I invited her to Pluckers to watch a football game with me. I got game, huh? We started dating. And she was quickly won over by me. Started stumbling on her words when she was around me. She fell so quickly in love with me, except it was really, really the other way around. And that wasn't the norm for me. I normally didn't get myself too serious with relationships, but Dawn changed that. But I still had a rule. I had to date somebody for at least a year before I would even think about marriage. Probably more like 2 or 3 years. And 3 months into dating Dawn, we both knew where it was heading. We both knew and had this sense that God wanted us to be together. 3 months into us dating, we put a deposit down on a wedding venue. I knew I didn't want to live without her. I had to lock her down before she wised up. And then the whole wedding planning thing was torture. Just this long period of time of just, why can't we just be married? Why do we have to jump through all these, I just want to be married. It was such a different type of longing once I knew what I was longing for. I don't know how military spouses do it, and when you pray for our military, that's why we pray for their spouses as well, because of that longing, that desire to have them back. And that's the best I can explain between the old fasting and the new fasting. The mindset that the Messiah has come, we know Him, and Jesus is coming back. We know Jesus. We hunger for Him now, not as a people that don't know Him, but as a people that absolutely know Him. So today when we fast, it's an expression of saying, Jesus, I do know You. I know that You're good. I know that You live in me. I know that You're full of love and mercy and grace. I know that You're my source of wisdom. I know that You're my source of righteousness. And I long to see You again. So a question. Is the church for the most part in the Word? Yes. We have Bible studies on top of Bible studies on top of Bible studies. Is the church of God in prayer? Absolutely. The church of God is used to hitting their knees in prayer. Is the church of God fasting? Most churches answer that no. Why not? Jesus says, my people will long for me and they will fast. So why do most churches in America not fast today? Have we lost that longing? Do we miss Him but are just kind of content with the things that we have now? I mean, He's given us the Holy Spirit. We have Christ in our heart. But we have to think eternally. The greatest thing that we can imagine is not winning the lottery. It's not getting married. It's not having a family, but Jesus Christ returning. Some people long for that. Some people long for that so much. When I was thinking about this week, when do I know that I'm longing for that? And for me, I had this weird illustration of, you know, when you cut somebody off in traffic and you hear the horn? When you think, is that the trumpet sounding? I don't know why. Are you the type of person that when you read that He'll return and you say, you know what, He said that 2,000 years ago. You just read it and feel like it's a fairy tale. Jesus is coming back. And there will be a day that we get to see Him face to face. Jesus is not just a coping mechanism. He is the Messiah. And fasting is an amazing way that we get to worship Him, saying, God, I can't wait for You to return. All my focus is on You, as it will be when I'm in heaven. We can still fast for wisdom, but we can say, God, I am fasting, and I can't wait for You to come back. God, I want You more than the pleasures of this world. And the good news to all this fasting stuff is fasting is not only an expression for a hunger for God, but it increases our longing for Christ. God designed fasting to increase our hunger for God. I want to read a quote from John Piper. I think they'll have it up on the screen as well. A quote from John Piper. Do you have a hunger for God? If we don't feel strong desire for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because we have drunk deeply and are not satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things and there is no room for the great. If we are full of what the world offers, then perhaps a fast might express or even increase our soul's appetite for God. Between the dangers of self-denial and self-indulgence is the path of a pleasant pain called fasting. It's from John Piper and from a book, A Hunger for God. Now, John Piper is far too smart for me to agree with everything that he says, but this book on fasting I found to be really incredible. And so when we fast, the scripture says it over and over again, when we fast, we can do it with the assurance that He is the Messiah. We can do it with the knowledge that He did go to the cross, that grace is available for you and me. And we can do it with the understanding that He is coming back. So should you fast? Yes. The answer is yes. And I learned something valuable from Scripture this week in Mark chapter 2. I fast for the reasons that I listed earlier, and I'll continue to do that. But the primary focus of fasting has to be on, Lord, come back. That's what the worship aspect is. I can seek His wisdom when I'm in need, but the focus is, Jesus, come back. I not only need Your wisdom now and in this moment, but I need Your wisdom in everything that I do. Lord, come back. Let's speed this up, Jesus. I can fast with the assurance that He is my provider, that I can have His wisdom, that I can worship Him in that way that shows my desperation of Him coming back. So do you fast? Why or why not? Do you want Jesus and do you want Him now? Or do you want your love affair with the world to run its course? If you have the things that you want to do here before you go to heaven, you probably have too small of a view of God. Do you want Him now, or do you want to have kids first? Or do you want to see them graduate? Or do you want to see them get married before Jesus comes? Jesus, come now. We need You. That's our hunger. More than our comfort is we hunger for Jesus. I've personally noticed something with me and my walk with God. I'm either falling more and more in love with Him or more and more in love with the world. Fasting is a reminder that He is our portion, that He is enough, that He is your wisdom, that He's everything, and that He is coming back. So how do we apply this? Well, we first look at how not to fast. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 16, you don't have to turn there. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have already received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that you will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. When you fast for the praise of men, you get it. It'll work. If you fast for the praise of men, people are going to be amazed that you're fasting. You're depriving yourself of food for God. Probably give you a pat on the back, say, good job. That's about all you get. It's the opposite of the point of fasting. God, more than anything, more than the pleasures of this world, more than the man's praises, more than food, God, I desire You. If we fast for the praise of men, we're fasting for the opposite reason. We also don't fast to get out of responsibilities. Parents, you don't fast from your kids. Spouses, you don't fast from one another. Students, you don't fast from your studies. Fasting does not release you from anything, but it empowers you to recognize why you are doing these things and to do them better. Scripture allows us to fast by ourselves. It allows us to fast with our spouse. It allows us to fast in small groups, with missional groups. Before you say, didn't it just say don't do it in front of men? Sometimes we need encouragement and accountability with one another. I want to caution with this. The Bible mentions the spiritual dangers of not fasting, but not the health dangers of fasting. And we can fast from many things. There are some of us that cannot go without food for X amount of time. Your doctor says it's not healthy, it's not good for you. I had a kid when I was a youth pastor, and she fasted from all media. Social media, television, radio, everything. Everything media-centered. And she spent that time in her Bible, praying and meditating. Imagine if we fasted from things like our smartphones. From things that distract us from God. It doesn't just have to be food. Deny ourselves the time that we spend with that and spend it with Jesus in prayer and in Scripture. Remember, the Bible says, when you fast, remember that he's coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're amazed by the grace that you give us. Lord, that because of what Christ did on the cross, that we can spend eternity with you. And we thank you for the promise that you're coming back, God, and we long for that day. Lord, we long for a day where there's no more sickness. God, where there's no more of men and women hurting each other. God, we long for a day where we get to worship you. Face to face. We long for you to come back, Lord Jesus. And thank you for the promise that you will. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
The only hands across the aisle, and let's see again the last verse. Chorus of When the Roll Is Called Up Young. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll
come on up. Y'all can stay standing or sit down or whatever you want to do. You want to come up here? You want to stay down there? You can talk loud. Mark has expressed an interest in joining our family. I think he wanted to say a couple things. Well, it's great to have you. Y'all come up and welcome Mark, and y'all are dismissed. Thank you. God bless.